Our gospel lesson comes from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We're looking at verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You can tell when I get bored and start playing with graphics. I want us to talk about and use that very first phrase out of the gospel lesson this morning. On the way. There's a wonderful series that you've probably studied at one time or another called Parables from the Backside. Dr. Ellis Callis put it together. Dr. Callis passed away just a short time back, but I got to tell you, he had the most wonderful way of looking at stories, because he realized, and he told us, every story has a front side, and the front side is that space where the storyteller, him or herself, shares with us the story. It's the story they want us to see. It's the story that's the obvious as it's told. But he also said every story has the untold story, the backside of the story, as we'll hear, the story that's untold by the teller, yet is right there nevertheless. Now, for our lesson today, I want us to start out on the front side of the story. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's in that spot between Samaria and Galilee. Now, on the way, as we've heard in Luke 9:51, as we hear again in Luke 13:22, and even now in Luke 17:11, Jesus being on the way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to fulfill God's purpose in his life. He's on the way to the cross. He's on the way to resurrection and life for you and for me. And on the way, he enters that village near Samaria and Galilee. And what he sees are 10 lepers off in a distance. They're off in a distance because that's where the law says lepers are supposed to be, at a distance. He hears their cry for mercy. And so he tells them, "Go show yourself to the priest." Why should they go show themselves to the priest? Because that's what the law says to do. I mean, if you go back to Leviticus 14:2 and following, it says, "This shall be the law for the lepers, for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall make an examination. And then if the leprous disease is healed in the leper, the priest shall command them to take for him who is cleansed 2 living clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet stuff and hyssop." Now, what you and I may miss in the midst of this moment of healing is the step of faith that Jesus asked of these 10 lepers. Did you catch it? Because Jesus does not heal them instantly. He simply tells them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And it's on the way to the priest that the lepers are cleansed. And one of them, we're told, actually realizes that he's cleansed and he falls. Excuse me. He comes running back. He's praising God. He falls right there at the feet of Jesus. He's there with thanksgiving. Can you begin to imagine what had to be going on in his heart and his life as he suddenly got to come there and just fall down right at the feet of Jesus? After everything that had been going on in this man's life, think about that one for just a second. We'll come back to it in just a minute. Because I want us to spend just a few moments with the backside of this story. And that is, I want us to deal with the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would have said. Because I want us to think in terms of those nine who didn't come back after being told to go to the priest and finding themselves healed. The nine who were healed on the way. What happened to them? Where did they go? Did they realize what had happened as they were headed to the priest? What did they have to say to their families? Did they jump up and down for joy at the fact that they had been healed and now they had a chance to make choices in life again? Now I have the choice to actually go back to my family. Now I actually have the choice to go home. Oh, I wonder what it's going to be like when I get home. Are they going to welcome me back in? I mean, they've already had to push me out and push me away. Are they now going to say, oh, great, great. You got all kinds of funky stuff around all over your body, but we're glad you're home. Or are they going to reject him all over again? Are they still going to push him away? Did the nine choose to go elsewhere and just start all over again? I wonder if those nine are still looking for life right now. Maybe they need to grab a hammer. Huh? I had a friend, Jay Gaddy, who used to love to say that. He'd come up to me and say, John, you need to grab a hammer. Okay, Jay, why in the world do I need to grab a hammer? He says, you need to grab a hammer so you can build a bridge and get over it. I wonder if they found within their life that ability to build the bridge that was going to be necessary for them to get over it. And so we go back to that one man who came back in verse 19. And Jesus' words are, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Stand up and go. I know what I hear Jesus telling this man right now. Jesus is telling him, even as you rise, you have a story to tell. You have something to tell of how healing has come into your life, of how wholeness has come into your life. So get up and go tell the story. Go share it with your family and your friends, with all those around you, because there are people around you who need to hear exactly what's happened to you. So get up and go. Your faith has made you well. You know, this man, just like the other nine, received healing for his body. But I think that this man received something that the other nine never knew they missed. Because what this one man received, who comes back in gratitude, is he gets a special gift. He gets a relationship with Jesus himself, a living relationship with God. Now, I think most of us, as we sit here today, will testify in one way or another that you and I have received in that special relationship with Jesus something special in our lives. We may even be here sitting here saying, yes, I found the purpose and the meaning that's a part of my life. I found the power to do and to be because I had that special relationship. It's in relationship with his followers that we truly do find meaning. Are we on the way rejoicing? Rejoicing happens in many respects because of what we came expecting. And so I want to ask you a pretty serious question today. What did you expect to happen in your life today as you came to church? What did you come expecting to be a part of your life today because we walked in these doors? Did we come expecting to receive healing? All of us need healing at one time or another. There are times in each of our lives when we stand in need of help. I know it seems most appropriate that we're saying this on the Sunday following a Sunday when we decided we couldn't even gather together in safety because of other influences that were around us in the form of a storm. All of us have times when we need help. But there are also times when we simply need to stop, to allow the experience of God's holiness to so encompass our bodies, our minds, our souls, that we realize God is doing something wonderful in me at this very moment. Each of us has special needs. What are the healings that we need? I can tell you, my confession is, I realize I've always needed a healing of fear. Because, you know, with a body like this and so forth, you would think, he's not afraid of anything. Yeah, he is. I think I've always been afraid that I wasn't good enough for God to actually place his vision into my heart and into my life. That I was not worthy of the great ideas. Not worthy to be recipient. Yet, it's that very vision that I came here today to tell you. I feel like God's already placed it not only into my heart, but I think into your heart as well. And I think that's important that you and I hear it and that we talk about it. Because the vision is that we are already a vibrant church. But I want us to claim hold of the vision that's working in and within us even today. I was talking with people over the last couple of weeks, and I had one person come up and suddenly say to me, I have a recurring dream that I want to share with you. Okay. He says, my dream is this. I walk into the sanctuary, and there's not a lot of folks here. And then I turn back around, and the place is absolutely full. It's packed. Folks, I feel like that was almost handed to me as a confirmation of what others are seeing too. Because I see not 250 or 300 people here on a Sunday for worship. I see 500 people. I see 600 people here worshiping. And the question that you and I are asking ourselves with all types of folks around us is, what are we supposed to do? How can we help to disciple all of these new Christians? Where are we supposed to put everybody? I mean, The cove's only so big. I mean, where are we supposed to hide folks? Where are we supposed to stuff them? A church where worship is so vital in our lives that we speak the language of God. A church where God speaks in and through our hearts to reach out and to touch. Even as millennials love to say, we're a place where faith is authentic. A church where faith isn't about any of the labels that we so often put on people. It's about Jesus. It's about God's love reaching to touch one and all. A place, as I like to say, we're a church with 600 ministers. You know how that happens? Because each and every one of us is that minister of Jesus Christ. I get to be pastor, but every one of us is minister. A place where our music is so varied, reaching the hearts of all kinds of people through all kinds of music, through hymns, through camp songs, through jazz, through popular music, through Christian music, through hip-hop. Oh no, did he really say that out loud? But any kind of music that allows people to express their love for God in song. A church where every person is expected to grow. A church where every person is involved in their God-called ministry and service. That allows each of us to grow in spirit. That allows each of us to grow in love. That allows each of us to grow in service. Doing what God has called us to do for this very moment. Allowing people to grow in our thanksgiving to God. So where do you and I stand in need of healing today? What step of faith do you and I need to do as we are on the way of rejoicing? What I want to tell you is something you already know. Jesus is here right now. Okay? He's here. And so he said to a leper, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Folks, we have a story to tell that people want to hear of the great love that Jesus has and has shown in your life and in mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.